You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey! We're back! Oh, we're back! And what a week that we have had. And you know, it's so good to be back here. We had our Halloween episode, and we kind of played that twice because, you know, it was a holiday. But oh my goodness, do we have a week to recap. And the guy that's going to help us out with that is none other than WISDEM's chair, Devin Remiker. Mr. Chairman, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We've had a very exciting week for the Democratic Party across the country, and I think 2026 could be an exciting year for Democrats coming right around the corner.
Yes, and you know, last time that you were here, you were not chairman. You were, you know, running to do that. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. We'll talk about what that means, I think, for Wisconsin in the last segment. But I really want to start with big picture. Wow. What message was sent?
Well, I think Democrats were laser focused on what we are hearing is voters' top concern, which is just the skyrocketing cost of living, that the basic life that people want to lead isn't affordable, whether it is the cost of groceries, healthcare, or if you rely on basic benefits to be able to live off of. I think that the shutdown right now, it is clear that voters are blaming the Republicans who control the presidency, the Senate, and the House for not being able to come to the table and get a deal done. I think Republicans were kind of hoping that by letting the whole thing burn, by letting it fail, that somehow it would create an opportunity for them. And I am, I think I'm very proud of the fact that people finally took this as an opportunity to take a stand, to say enough was enough and send a clear, resounding message across our country. And these weren't just blue states. I'm seeing a lot of Republicans saying, oh, you know, Democrats won in blue states. Big surprise. Virginia had a Republican.
Yeah, right, right.
But I mean, we also won races in Georgia, Texas, Mississippi. I mean, this was across the country. And I think that, folks are finally waking up to what Trump's agenda is, and they are ready to fight back and vote against it.
So you do think that, because Republicans have been like laser focused as well. If this is the Democrat shutdown, which, by the way, I freaking hate when they the Democrat party. It's like you're being a child. Shut up. But you do think that people saw through that?
Absolutely. I think both in the states where there were elections, but also we're seeing that here in Wisconsin. I looked at the Marquette poll really closely that came out last week.
What did it say?
It said a heck of a lot. The number one issue that most folks had some concern about was cost of living and inflation. 69% were basically very concerned or concerned about that. But there was another number. It's actually the same number. 69% of people thought that President Trump was either actively making the issue worse or doing nothing to address it with his policies. And I think that is a big recipe for disaster for Republicans. Not only that, but a plurality of Republicans even believe that the tariffs, you know, kind of the center point of Republican economic messaging for folks like Tom Tiffany, who's now trying to run for governor, 32% of Republicans thought that those tariffs are hurting farmers. So I think that, you know, what is clearly on display is who is fighting for the working class, who is taking a stand to try to make people's lives better. And that's the Democratic Party. And I think the Republicans have betrayed a lot of their fundamental values. I mean, I talk to a lot of, former Republicans, former conservatives who can't believe how the government has gotten involved by being a shareholder of private sector companies, of putting these tariffs in place, flying in the face of, you know, free and fair trade across the world. And I think that this both is the reason why we are seeing a rejection, not just from Democrats, but from independents. And we're starting to see defection even from Republicans.
So what does that do? Like, kind of going forward, you know, I mean, it was interesting being part of that coalition of like the Lincoln Project Republicans when I was a Republican, obviously not anymore. But, you know, is that still a focus coming up where if we have these people that are defecting the party, do they have room here? Is that something that we really want to focus on and grow the party here?
If I have anything to say about it, absolutely. I mean, we need to have a bigger tent as a Democratic Party. And, you know, although I really appreciate, you know, you and others like you who came forward in 2024, I can also recognize how some people didn't feel like that tent was quite big enough, that if you didn't agree with the Democratic Party 100% of the time, even if you were 80% of the way there, maybe that felt like it wasn't good enough and you weren't welcome. You know, ultimately, to me, politics is the art of addition, not subtraction. I think that we have to find a way to build a durable coalition that can produce Democratic majorities in this state if we want to be a blue state. You know, my mission as Democratic Party chair is to, yes, win elections in a 50-50 battleground state, but to eventually get us to the point where we don't have to be sweating bullets about the fate of democracy every single election. And in order to do that, we have to either win back people we've lost, mobilize new folks to come into the fold, or do both. And I think it's always a yes and strategy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I'd love to hear that because I do. That's kind of my, you know, my pet issue is growing that tent. Well, yeah, I mean, because it matters. And especially it matters because I think that the Republicans, all they're doing is making their tent more insular. They're closing in the walls. And I think it's only going to get worse when these policies really start. I mean, they're hurting everybody now, but I don't think we've seen the bottom yet. And they're only going to circle the wagons more and they're going to die with this Trumpism.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a disaster in the making. And, you know, I think that Republicans have relied on sort of, excuse the pun, building walls for quite a long time, whether it was in ideology, whether it was in their messaging. And I think that what is happening now is that for a lot of people, you can only sort of talking point your way past the objective reality that many people are facing, including many people that likely supported Donald Trump in 2024 based on false promises that he wouldn't go after the benefits that folks relied on, wouldn't go after Social Security, you know, would sort of remain focused. I think that they are seeing that these things are being ripped away. They're being made more expensive. I mean, if you look at by congressional district, sort of where the biggest impacts are to folks who are at risk of losing their health care or at risk of losing SNAP, not even just from the shutdown, but from the bill that was already passed, signed into law. That's a done deal earlier this year. You know, the 7th congressional district, the 3rd congressional district are both in the top three in the entire state. And the 2nd congressional district, dead last. I mean, this is actually disproportionately impacting folks that are in conservative areas represented by Republican representatives in Congress. And, you know, I think that that's a very hard thing to talking point your way past at the end of the day.
I think it is too. What when you look at some of the big races from Tuesday, as we're talking to Chairman Devin Remicker of Wisconsin Democratic Party, what do the candidates tell us that you know about where the party is headed, what people are saying? Because like you have a guy in Mamdani who is the mayor elect of New York City, Democratic Socialist, very left, but then we have some of the more moderate people in the other states that won their governorships. It's a mixed bag.
My perspective on this is, when I look at these candidates, right, and what they focused on, I think they were all kind of addressing, in many cases, the core issue of cost of living and affordability, that people feel like they are working harder than ever before, but they're getting further and further behind. And, you know, I think that looks different in New York City compared to, you know, Virginia, where obviously rent is a really big deal in a city where owning your own home is few and far between. You know, I don't think anyone's sitting here thinking that rent control is sort of the key policy plank of the entire state of Wisconsin, right? Like someone in Spooner isn't that into rent control. They have other problems, but it's not rent control. You know, what my big takeaway was is that folks need to authentically, honestly, find ways to engage and not condescend or talk down to people or take them for granted, but to present themselves in an earnest, honest way. And I think people are hungry for that. I think they want to understand that there are people who are willing to take the issue seriously, to present solutions that can actually get us out of the mess that we're in and improve their life. So, you know, that to me was my biggest lesson, is that there's tons of different ways to do this. But the most important thing is to listen to what voters actually want and make sure that you are able to show up in a way that is authentic and honest, and people believe that you are going to actually do what you say.
I think it's interesting, excuse me, because you watch some of the punditry and everything on election night. When Democrats talk about kitchen table issues to people, they win.
Yeah.
Full stop. Absolutely. And I think it's been interesting to see, what Republicans have to run on is, this works, and here's how. Donald Trump was talking about how the price of your Thanksgiving dinner is going to be the lowest. Bull, you know what? Tell that to people that are actually going out and grocery shopping. You can't say that with a straight face and tell them that the economy is great when people are losing their jobs and people are getting foreclosed on. And this hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find it very difficult to imagine what it would look like to watch Donald Trump walking down the aisle in like Woodman's, just trying to like
grocery. It's an old fashioned word. It's a beautiful word.
He has no idea. I mean, truly, he is so out of touch. And I think that, that once again, this is one of those realities that every time people are going to look at that giant receipt and they're going to be like, what is going on? This is costing me hundreds of dollars more than last year. And I think that Republicans are doing nothing to address that issue for folks at the end of the day. And, I think this is a real opportunity for the Democratic Party. I think that one of the places that we fell short in 2024 was that folks really knew what we were against and who we were against, but they didn't know what we were actually standing for. And I think that when you look at our economic track record, what we can actually do, what we have done, we haven't been able to really own it in the way that we should. And we haven't had a forward-thinking, proactive, optimistic vision for the future economically. And I think that is really essential for Democrat success in 2026, including right here in Wisconsin, is to talk about what we can actually do to deliver for working people.
Yeah, and I think we're going to really get into that. That was a really good segue. You should do this for a living, man. Because I do want to talk at the next segment about exactly that. That it's again the punditry and everyone that I was listening to. It is important to be against Trumpism because it sucks. Let's be honest. But then it's also okay. What are you for? And it's interesting because the Republicans are trying to do the reverse in healthcare. We say, oh, okay, well, this Obamacare, this sucks. Where the hell's your plan? What's your idea? And for what, 20 years almost, they've got nothing. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what does that mean for Wisconsin? What do these results tell us? I also want to talk about the wonderful opportunity that we have, because both in the governor's race and then in congressional races all over the state, we have people that have to go out and defend this stuff. It's going to be really, really, really hard. And it's going to be up to you and your team to tell everybody why it sucks. And so I want to talk about all of that on the other side of the break. And I'm so grateful and thankful that you're here. And we're going to talk to Devin Remicker on the other side. Stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yo! Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We are sitting down with your friend and mine, Chairman Devin Remicker. Again, congratulations, by the way. How's that going? Is it fun? Everything that you would ever thought?
It really is. It is. It is. No, it's great. I mean, I just spent this past weekend for our 1 year to win weekend crisscrossing the state. And, you know, my previous role at the party was a little bit more back of the house. Yeah. And one thing I just really love is the state of Wisconsin. I mean, you know, it's just so different in so many different corners. And I love each and every one of them. So being able to both get out a little bit more, but also to see all the folks that are doing the work on the ground is so, so rewarding. And, you know, whether it was in Madison, Elkhorn, Manitowoc, people were really fired up, especially Manitowoc County. Shout out to Manitowoc.
Oh,
County.
Really?
That had like 60 people in the office, home county. So, you know, a hometown effect. It was really great to see people fired up and ready to make a change.
That'd be cool. Cause I see Manitowoc, their county executive is going to be leaving, and
yeah,
our dear friend Shea Sortwell sounds like he wants to run. So that would suck. Anyway,
is that right? Shea Sortwell is thinking about running.
Yes, he is thinking about running.
That's very interesting.
Oh man, good stuff. So we were talking about what all of this means for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And if I were Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orden, Brian Stile, Tony Wheat, I would be a little nervous when I saw some of those results. What do you think?
I would be too. You know, I think the issue is you don't really see that from these Republicans.
Right.
You know, they are sort of caught in this trap where loyalty to Donald Trump is actually more important to them than representing their constituents. I think Derek Van Orden is perhaps the one that makes that case most abundantly clear.
He does a great job at it.
He really just doubles down on every anti-worker policy humanly possible. And, you know, they are trying to make this bet that they can perhaps activate or motivate voters that otherwise might only show up for Trump when he's on the ballot. And I think both a lot of those individuals probably have a little bit of a buyer's remorse. But also it is going to alienate them from the rest of the more sort of regular voting population. These policies are extremely unpopular. I mean, one of the reasons that Democrats kind of beat expectations in 2022 across the country was that the Republican Party nominated the most MAGA candidate mm-hmm. in all of their statewide primaries. And that resulted in these sort of handpicked by Trump candidates with records that didn't reflect the mainstream. And they captured kind of all the downside with none of the upside. And I think that is a big recipe for disaster, on top of the fact that we are seeing, I think, a big persuasive change amongst folks right now.
Help me out here, too, because so in the world that I have lived in since like 2015, for those who don't know, I was chairman of the Republican Party here in locally in this area. And I've always been, since he came down that stupid escalator, I've been incredibly anti-Trump. And so for the last 10 years, everything that I have done has been against, and preaching about why it's bad and talking about why it's against every one of the values that common sense conservatives should have had. And it's interesting to be in this a little bit of a flip here, to not just say, okay, we need to be against Trump because we said it sucks, but then we also need to say, hey, it's okay to not tell women what they can and can't do to their own bodies. It's okay to tell people, hey, you can marry the person that you love, those things. How do we go from we need to be anti-Trump and we need to be against this, but also this is what we're all about?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think to me, there are sort of three fundamental values that are, really at the core of what I think a lot of people are thinking about right now and what I think the Democratic Party needs to stand for, which is we are the party that fights for the working class. And when I say working class, I don't just necessarily mean, you're sort of the mythological, like middle class, you know, persuadable voter, right? I mean folks that may own their own business, may, you know, have a successful HVAC company and are doing pretty well for themselves and have like a nice place on a lake, you know, the chain of lakes in Waupaca. And like they're busting their rear ends to like make that work. You know, that is not who we are actually against right now. I think that what we are up against are folks like Elon Musk, an individual who is worth over $400 billion, right? That spent $60 million on a Supreme Court race like it was a spare bet on DraftKings. You know what I mean? Like this is this is who is sort of moving the machinery of government against working people right now to stop anyone else from being able to get ahead. And I think that is what I mean by the working class. And when I talk about fundamental rights and freedoms, I think you hit the nail on the head. Ultimately, we're the party that wants to get government out of your life, out of your doctor's office, out of, you know, the clerk's office about telling you who you can marry, who you can love, how you can't love. And we're the party that wants to protect our democracy. You know, we are the party that wants to preserve your ability to actually choose who your elected representatives are, not have them chosen for you by gerrymandered maps drawn by politicians in the special interests that are paying them to draw the maps to preserve their power to further stack the deck against us. Like that to me is what this fight is about. And it's what the Democratic Party needs to stand for right now. And I think that is a compelling message that actually can add people to our coalition instead of feeling like there is a loyalty oath you need to take in order to buy in. I think that this is a big enough tent and we just need to find the candidates to throw the party in it.
Right. And it's interesting to kind of talk about authenticity versus ideology. You know, that's something that I think the Democrats really have down is we have authentic candidates and the other side, all they have is, well, we're as Trumpy as we can be. You know, and it's really interesting to see Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to polish that turd, you know, and going on things like The View and, you know, whatever. We're talking with Devin Remicker, chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We're going to continue this discussion right after this, and we're going to talk about, again, Wisconsin and what are we going to do here in 2026. Everyone's favorite subject. Stick around. Revolution. If you want to hear this, share it, like it, all those types of things. You can find this episode on civicmedia.us. Download it wherever you get your podcasts, all that good stuff. Like our page, share our page, all the socials. And again, we are talking with the new chairman of WISDEMS, Devin Remicker. Again, dude, thank you. This is our last segment, but I appreciate you, you know, moving stuff around and hanging out with us for a little while today.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. So, okay. How, what are the takeaways for like Wisconsin in this from this week? Our Democrats are back, I think it's number one.
You know, we're so back. No,
hell
you know,
yeah.
Here's the thing though, is that I think the rest of the country is kind of having the moment that at least I personally had, and I think at least some people in Wisconsin had back in April, right? You know, there has been this extended sort of grieving and soul searching process that the Democratic Party has gone through nationwide. And we didn't have a choice, you know, but to just roll up our sleeves and get to work. And, you know, we figured out really quickly that you can fight back. You know, you don't have to, you know, avoid the issue. You can call out someone like Elon Musk that's trying to buy an election when his company filed a lawsuit against the state of Wisconsin. and he's trying to buy a seat so that he can get a judge to rule in his case and enrich himself. You can call a spade and fight back. We won. Right. We won that fight. And, you know, I think that sort of has instilled this motivation in me that's felt a little, disconcordant with perhaps the national attitude, right? Because I saw that we can win earlier. And now I think that this has been that sort of validation that, you know, we can actually do this. We can claw our way back. And we don't need some sort of national figurehead, right? Like that's, you know, in these moments, we crave the safety of a leader, right? Yeah. A national leader. And after 2016, we didn't get that either. What we did was we helped elect a whole new generation of leaders in states across the country in the 2018 midterms. Many of those people are now our potential presidential candidates in 2028, right? And I think that is the opportunity that we have now. And that's the opportunity ahead of us in 2026. There is more we can actually win in 2026 than I think in any single year since probably 2006 in this state.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. What do you, so like super going into the weeds, when something like that happens, when you have a huge result, do like the leaders of the states get together and have like conference calls and be like, all right, this is what worked. Give this a try. Like, is there like information sharing and all that kind of stuff that happens?
Absolutely. Yeah. After every election, there's usually a debrief process. And, you know, sometimes that it takes a little while to sort through all the you know, aftermath and figure out, okay, this worked. It seemed like this group really turned out. Maybe this group didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've already seen, you know, some messages from the DNC, from my fellow state parties celebrating both their own successes, their programs, what they did. And we'll all be getting together in December. We have quarterly meetings of all the state parties in the country where we come together, share best practices, knowledge, and try to lift each other up. We'll be having one of those in December, I believe the second week of December, in addition to a DNC meeting as well. And I think that's going to be a real, you know, both celebration of success, but also gearing up for the fight ahead.
What do you think they did right this time that we didn't do before?
From what I saw, candidates stayed laser focused on the issue that was most important to voters.
What is it?
Cost of living and affordability. That was, you know, we saw it in the Marquette poll. We saw it in polling in other states. Voters, everything's too expensive. And not only did everything start as being too expensive, but now they are starting to see the impact of Republican policies that are making the things that might have been affordable or helped lift that burden before either more expensive or unavailable. I mean, you know, in Wisconsin, we're seeing this firsthand, right? Like subsidies, healthcare subsidies, which right now Democrats are fighting for in Congress, they are set to go up 800%. I mean, a working family of four, their healthcare costs, $30,000. $30,000. That's almost half like the household income for your median family in the state of Wisconsin. It is absurd. So, you know, Republicans who are trying to blame Democrats for, you know, the shutdown when they control all three branches and Democrats are simply asking that we try to make healthcare affordable for working families. I think that's a losing argument.
I think it's a losing argument. And I think it's one that, they have to stay laser focused on.
Yeah.
And how do you paint that as like a sticky note and slap it on the forehead of every single Republican that tries to get their job back next year?
You have to be relentless and you have to hold them accountable and you have to point out what the record is. You know, I noticed very clearly that, you know, the day of the election, Tom Tiffany was talking a lot about immigration and crime. And the morning after, what's he up there with talking about affordable housing? I'm like, okay, Mondani, like, what are you doing, man? Like, they are so shameless and so simple. They eventually, at some point, they will try to run away and abandon the president, abandon his record, and abandon what they all voted for. And that's the key part. They're all on the record. They all voted for the big, ugly bill, right? They have all enabled this over the years. And, you know, I think that when you look at the Republicans that we have now, I think back to the sort of last stand of the anti-Trump movement in Wisconsin in 2016 during the Republican primary, right? We were, I believe, the last state that he didn't win when Ted Cruz won the state of Wisconsin. A lot of those folks, a lot of those leaders, the people that were able to actually make that possible, they've walked away from the Republican Party.
Yep.
Or at the very least, they stay arm's length away from Donald Trump and the MAGA movement as it stands. The folks that we have now, they are dyed in the wool. I think that's a very hard record to run away from, but we cannot take for granted that is apparent. There's just so much going on in this day and age, especially when people are worried about making ends meet, that they don't follow, you know, legislative bill tracking. And we need to make it clear what they voted for, what they enabled, and who's fighting for them, the Democratic Party.
It's really interesting, that you say that. Wisconsin is we are the home of the Never Trump movement. You know, that started with us. That started, I mean, I was there. I helped with that. And I'm proud of that. But you're exactly right. That those people that did that, they have drifted away from that party. And so how do the Democrats win back those voters? How do they win back rural voters that have drifted away?
Yeah, I really think it has to start by showing up and helping the folks understand what we actually stand for and what we're actually fighting for. And I really don't think some people understand what that is. I think that there is a very skewed perception, largely because we weren't making the case ourselves, or we weren't making it very effectively. You know, when you allow your opponent to define you,
yes,
which is what I think happened in a lot of voters' minds, you have failed. And I think that, you know, I'm from Two Rivers, right? I see a lot of social media traffic from the hometown. I think that a lot of people think that we're more interested in putting litter boxes in kids' schools. Dude. Instead of just making sure that we actually have well-funded, accessible public education. Like, you know, there is this entirely skewed perception of our priorities. And part of that is because Democrats both haven't had an effective message and an effective argument, but we haven't shown up, right? Like, there are folks that are not always comfortable in going into these spaces, right? And showing up and, like, yeah, taking a little bit of heat and taking a little bit of crap from folks that may not be with you. But ultimately, if we can take a place that was, you know, 30% Democratic, get it up to 35% and replicate that across the state of Wisconsin, that's going to make a tremendous difference in our statewide elections. But we have to show up and we have to have a message that actually adds to our coalition, doesn't make people feel condescended to or pushed out of the party.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I had a conversation with someone this week about, you know, all of this stuff. And he's the response, and he's like a owns a large business, and he said, well, you know, I just don't want a man going into the bathroom with my grandchildren or my granddaughters. And I'm like, do you really think that's what this is about? Like, honestly, do you really think, like, look around, dude, look at what's happening, you know, look at affordability and, you know, your freaking business and the tariffs. Oh my God. It's, but that's exactly what it is. The Republicans have been allowed to define us and our priorities for since 2015.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, I think, our fundamental challenge and our fundamental opportunity this cycle. I think that for folks like that, right, I think that this is maybe the time where, you know, we may not be able to get to that 100% agreement. And I don't think that has to be the goal in any way, shape or form. But if we can use the economy and use what is happening, maybe to his business, maybe to the cost of what he needs to manufacture something, and we can get buy-in on that front. Right. I think that at least gives us a bridge to be able to have a conversation about, like, hey, maybe we should just leave the kids alone. Huh? Like,
right.
You know, this is going pretty well. Like, we're doing good stuff here. Like, do we, you know, like, is this really something that is infringing on your freedom?
Right.
And like, you know, like, it's infringing on someone else's. So what's the issue?
Right.
And like, I think that you need that common language. Right. I think one of the biggest problems is that social media has allowed folks to kind of opt into reality in whatever way they want to see it. And we both have to find ways to break those bubbles, and whether that's on social media or through in-person conversations, sort of reset. You know, there's no Cronkite that just tells everyone what the truth is anymore, right? There's no baseline understanding of the facts. Everyone has their own. And we just have to find a way to break through that. And I think that's what these candidates did successfully, was that they were able to get people to believe them and not necessarily what someone else was saying about them, because they seemed earnest, honest, and weren't, were explaining issues clearly, not just what they would do, but what the problem was, to help voters understand.
Right. And we're talking with WISDEM's chairman, Devin Remiker. What's keeping you up at night?
The thing that keeps me up at night, and it's not what a lot of Democrats are really worried about right now, which is, you know, are we going to have elections in 2026? Like, that's something I hear a lot, right? People are worried about, you know, sort of the trajectory that we're on. Is this victory going to accelerate some sort of anti-democratic plot from the Trump administration? I think that we're in pretty good shape for 2026, largely because people that believe in democracy at the state level have already been at the helm when this process has unfolded.
Yeah.
What I worry about is 2027 and 2028. I mean, both because this is an opportunity for us to be able to deliver for working people. I feel a real sense of urgency in this moment to win big in 2026, the governorship, the state senate, the state assembly, expand a majority on the court that believes in fairness. Absolutely. I worry that if we aren't able to have a resounding enough victory, not just in Wisconsin, but states across the country, that in 2028, we could face really serious challenges to our democracy, whether that's Trump, whether it's J.D. Vance trying to succeed him. Republicans are all in on this plot right now. And the only reason we didn't see it in 2024 was that they came out ahead. But I very much feel, you know, a huge sense of urgency and responsibility to do whatever we can to win big in 26, because I do worry about what's going to happen to our democracy in 2028 if we don't.
How do people get involved?
You can go to wisdems.org. You can sign up to get involved. Right now, we are looking for volunteers, especially ahead of the Supreme Court race, where the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has endorsed Chris Taylor against Maria Lazar. And talk about democracy, folks. Like in 2020, Wisconsin was the closest state in the entire country to having our results overturned. It was only one swing vote that ultimately prevented our electoral votes from being cast aside. I don't really want to take that chance.
No.
And especially with Maria Lazar, who just attended an event with Michael Flynn, who has taken endorsements from folks like Jim Troupis, one of the co-engineers of the fake elector scheme, and Michael Gableman, who is disbarred because he was running a sham investigation about the election, right? Like, that is who Republicans are putting forward as their candidate for the Supreme Court. And that's what's at stake. So if you go to wisdems.org, you can sign up to volunteer, get involved. We have the next general election statewide in the entire country, and you can be a part of it.
Let's talk about that as we get to it. Devin Remiker, thank you so very much for your time here on the Rational Revolution. We'll see you later. Appreciate it,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Take care.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling was easy
man.
When he sang the blues.
Devin Remiker, what a guy. He's awesome. I'm so glad that he is the new chairman of Wisconsin Democratic Party, and he's a great dude. And yeah, get involved, you know, and I think that's so wonderful. And I have to say, this week has felt different, you know. I think for the first time in what feels like forever, there's a flicker of something that almost didn't feel possible anymore. And that's hope. After such a dark and heavy year, a year when it felt like every headline brought another gut punch, I think a lot of us had forgotten what it feels like to hope. You know, we've been holding our breath. We've been watching as Donald Trump and his allies once again hurt the most vulnerable people in our country over and over and over again. Watching cruelty masquerade as leadership. Watching compassion mocked as weakness. It's been exhausting. It's demoralizing. But this week, as we talked about with Devin, it does seem like something shifted. Across the country, what we saw was Democratic voters that were having victories. I mean, some were small, but some were huge. But every single one of them was meaningful. And when the wins themselves, they all matter. Because these wins change lives. These wins change policy. What really stuck with me wasn't just that it was a political outcome. It was an emotional one. I looked at my social media feed this week, and for the first time in a long time, it wasn't filled with like despair or outrage. It was filled with people like smiling, crying, hugging. It was sharing messages of hope and joy. People posted about what it was like to finally exhale, you know, and to feel that maybe the tide is turning. And in the middle of all of that, a quote came to mind that it's one I've always loved. It's from the musical Les Mis. And the quote says, "Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise." Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. And this week, it felt like the sunrise has started. But here's the thing. A sunrise is not the end of the story. It is the beginning. Because hope, real hope, is not the finish line. It is the starting line. Hope is fuel. It's energy. Hope is what pushes us forward when everything feels impossible. It's what propels us to stand up, to fight harder, and to love louder. I've been thinking about that a lot this week? What kind of action is required of me? What kind of responsibility comes with that hope we're feeling? Because if we just let it sit there and we treat this moment, hey, it's a celebration, that's great. Well, we've completely missed its purpose. And as Devin said, we got one shot at this. We got one shot at this. And that hope is not meant to make us feel comfortable. It's meant to make us move. So I'm asking myself, and I'm also asking you, what does moving forward look like now? Maybe it means volunteering. Maybe it means organizing, putting up a yard sign, talking to your neighbors, your family. Maybe it means, as I have to figure out, running for office. Maybe it's donating, marching in a parade. Or like I said, just talking to someone. All right, because there's so much that's at stake. And whatever it is that you feel you can do, we can't stop here. The time is right now. Right now. And this is where we take everything we've got, everything we've felt, from the fear, the anger, the frustration, the heartbreak, the exhaustion, every emotion that we have had for the last year. We take it out now. And this is where we take that energy and we say no more. No more cruelty disguise this strength. No more injustice ignored just because it's inconvenient. No more pretending that we can't make a difference, because damn it, we can and we will. This week reminded us what happens when people care enough to show up. When we refuse to give up in despair, when we remember that even in the darkest moments, there are more of us who believe in kindness, in equality, in truth, in each other. And that's what these victories meant. It's not just that Democrats won. I mean, they did, which is cool. But it's that hope itself won. So as we move forward, we have to carry that hope with us, carry that feeling with us. And we have to protect it, because we have to build on it. Because the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. It's rising. It's rising right now. It's rising in every single one of us who dares to believe that we can build something better. Because this is our moment. And what's called from us is that we cannot waste it. And we have to take that hope and turn it into action. Let it fuel us. Fight for what is right. And let's do what is right. Because my friends, the sun is up. It's our time right now. And we got to make it shine. Hey, that's what we do every week, right? Thank you to Devin Remiker for spending some time with us. Thank you to Civic Media for letting me blab on the air. Thanks to Conrad in the back. And hey, we're going to see you next week here on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.